For those who are viewing this morning on the video, we're going to do the best we can to continue to record these, if it's working, but we shall see. We are continuing in the book of James. For those of you who've been with us for a while, you know that we've been going verse by verse through the entire book of James, and believe it or not, we're at the end. We are finishing up. We're going to cover today's last section of James, chapter 5, because there are several very, very major points that are taking place there. And if you have a Bible, please turn to James chapter 5. If you need a Bible, please feel free to take one. As we said before, if you use it, just leave it on the seat when you're done. So anyway, we are going to be in James chapter 5 and beginning at verse 13. But before we do that, let's pray over our text, shall we? Heavenly Father, whenever we go to your word, it's important that we open our hearts and our minds, that you would inform us of that which you would have us hear. Father, we thank you for the written word, the very words of your Son and you, and we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us as you would have us learn in this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So James, as you recall, James is the brother of Jesus, and he writes this to encourage the people of faith. But mostly James writes about being a real deal Christian. Doesn't say that in the text, but that's the sense of the book. The sense is that you can't just be label yourself a Christian. Being a Christian means more than affiliating yourself with a Christian church or a Christian group. That's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that you are literally a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower of Jesus Christ, meaning that you listen to what he says and you actually do it. Hence the symbol that we've been using is the gloves. At the beginning of this series, I reminded you that when you do work, you know, you have work gloves, right? And the work gloves are very important. But the gloves themselves can do nothing. But once you slip your hand inside that glove, the glove can accomplish all of the tasks before it. And we are like the glove. We, in and of ourselves, are not empowered to do what needs to be done. But once the Holy Spirit slips himself inside of this earthly glove that is us, then we can accomplish much. So that's the model, that's the message that James has been passing along to us all along. But let's go to the text and see what he has for us here in this section. And there it goes. It's not advancing. I promise you that it did advance before. So let's try this one more time. I'm going to need my lovely assistant to advance that slide. All right, we begin with James chapter 5, verses 13, and it tells us this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You see, prayer then seems to be something that we are to do, that we are to rely on. He goes on to say this, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. In my home for many, many years, I've had, I don't even remember who gave it to me as a gift one time. It's a framed picture. And it's a father kneeling at the bedside of his sleeping daughter. And the moonlight is shining through the bedroom windows. And just the way the windows are made, you can see across there, and the man is on his knees at his sleeping daughter's bedside, and they use the King James Version of this last passage, and it's very meaningful to me. And in the King James Version, it says, "The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I just kind of like the way it sounds in the King James. The effective prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. If you are in Christ and you are a follower of Christ and you are actually following Christ and you are calling on the Holy Spirit, your prayers have power. And so we are to do that. We do the praises and prayer cards every week for a reason, because at least here in this church, we believe that prayer actually works. We believe that we need to do this because we're commanded to do that. So prayer then seems to be the preferred way to communicate with God for, well, everything. So why don't Christians use this God-given communication device called prayer more often than we do? Kind of interesting. Why don't we pray more often? Research tells us that 65%, listen to this, 65% of Americans pray to God. Further, they found that 28% of those who said they had no faith had prayed in the last 3 months. Interesting. What was equally interesting in the study, it says the same study found out that 85% of the people who pray regularly don't expect to have their prayers answered. Think about that for a second. We have people that are praying and praying, they don't actually expect anything to happen. What's up with that? And of course, there's an even more potent reason why folks might doubt God is going to answer their prayers. It's their fear that their request is just too big or too unreasonable for God to consider. Now, God understands that fear. Remember, this is the Creator God of the universe, and we are His children.